Blog Talk Radio.
Hello listeners, welcome to another broadcast of The Unexplained World with your host, Edward Shanahan, a paranormal, spiritual observer, and psychic reader, along with Annette, a high priestess and psychic reader. The Unexplained World is a broadcast where the border between the natural and supernatural may become nothing more than fuzzy, so enjoy. Hello, listeners. Welcome to The Unexplained World with your host, Edward Shanahan. It's me and Annette. Hello, Annette.
Hello, Ed. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, there's a delay in our broadcast. How about that? You think somebody might swear or something. But there ain't no beep button, so I don't know. So there is a delay. It's a threw me off because I'm looking at the screen, and the screen says, waiting for hosts. Well, I've been here for about 10 minutes already waiting for it to come out. So
I am here.
Yeah, you heard me at the beginning, though, Annette. So, yeah, but, you know.
Oh, we'll try to, you know, mind our manners, and maybe they won't have a delay on us next time.
Oh, maybe it's because of our guests. I don't know.
I don't think
yeah.
so.
No, I don't think so either. But we will bring him on in 2 minutes or so. And I would like to say, thank you, Annette, for being, you know, taking care of the chickens and being here tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, and that's our farm girl witch. But
I told her, don't worry, I'll be there. I got to go lock up the chickens.
Yeah. So, I like to say, listeners, stay tuned for if our guest is on. We'll talk a little bit about what's coming up. Something's already filled up for October 20th, which is good, really. And but let's get to our guest right now. Annette, you want to introduce? He's the author of Haunted Asylums. Go ahead, Annette.
And please welcome Corvus Nocturnum.
Hello, Corvus.
Hello
there.
Hello,
Ed. Hello,
welcome
Ed.
To the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while. About a year, hasn't it? If not a little longer.
It's been almost 2 years, actually.
Oh, time goes by too fast.
Well, thank you for being on, Corvus. I told you we would. And you got a brand new, Annette, he is an author of how many books, Corvus? 10?
10 that are released. There's another 3 that are coming out this year. And I know I've got a couple slated for next fall that are finished, but I can't reveal due to my contract with Schiffer until later into the year what those 2 titles are. So,
you have a lot of irons in the fire. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. They threw a contract at me as soon as I was done with all of them, saying, hey, we want you to do one on vampires next. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I will.
Why not? It's a great accomplishment. Let me say that, okay?
Thank you.
To be able to do that many books. Now, we're talking books. We're not talking Kindle or any of that, right?
Schiffer's books aren't available as Kindle simply because they're so graphic heavy with full color photos. They don't want to disturb us
to
design.
That's what I meant. You're talking actually books.
Yeah. The ones that I put out through Dark Moon Press, some of them are on Kindle, but the majority of them, they all started out as regular books first, because I'm old school and I grew up in libraries and, you know, things like that, and I've worked in one for the past 2 or 3 years, so, you know, I'm always going to have a huge personal library. You can't get away with just sliding a nook or anything under my nose.
Right. Right on.
Your new book, Haunted Asylums.
Yes.
Tell the listeners about it.
Well, we're going to explore everything from the origins of Mary Mallon, otherwise known as the infamous Typhoid Mary. You know, you'll see well over 100 full color and some black and white vintage photos and sketches of these original Kirkbridge and other designed asylums from the turn of the century. One of them being Danvers State Hospital in Massachusetts. It was actually built on the grounds where the Salem witch trials took place. You may have seen it in the movie Session 9. It was the key set for that until most of the buildings, unfortunately, were torn down. And, we've got Oregon State Hospital, which is where Jack Nicholson's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was filmed at. And it's part paranormal, part history, part, you know, just amazing photos. I can't stress enough how incredible these images are. It blew me away as it was being put together.
Were you the photographer for the photos at Corvus?
Unfortunately, no. I met with people from all over the world, and they were what's more commonly known as urban explorers. And,
right.
These brave souls went into, you know, sometimes 100, 200-year-old decaying buildings. I mean, these places have asbestos and broken glass, rusted metal, floors caving in from age, and, you know, wild animals in them. And, they risk their lives and, unfortunately, also arrest for breaking and entering, because the majority of these places are still government or private property. So I did have to put in the beginning of the book that the author nor the publisher assumes any, you know, liability if anybody tries to investigate these places on their own without written permission from whoever owns the properties.
Right. Smart.
How long did it take you to put this book together? Because the research and everything else, it'll be time-consuming.
It was. I mean, I put out 4 books this year alone, but this one took about 2 years to research to put it together, and then networking with the photographers to send me images and get all the permissions signed and in the shipper. And then, of course, they also take another 6 months or so to, you know, put it together themselves and put it out on the market. So technically, its official street date is November 28th, but they are taking orders on Schifferbooks.com and on Amazon.com right now.
What would you consider the most, out of all the ones that you have in the book, which ones kind of stand out for you?
For me personally, I'd have to say Danvers, for not only what I mentioned before about Session 9 and Salem for the witch trials. One thing that really stood out to me is that during my research I found out that it was the very place where lobotomies as a science was perfected. We also have Norwich Hospital, where the row of cast iron bathtubs were filled with cold water and ice, and they would submerge the mental patients in them and bolt these giant straitjackets across the entire top. And this was a variation of hydrotherapy, where they felt that controlling the physical body and temperature would actually cure them of madness, when actually they suffered hypothermia and died.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very tragic.
You said perfected lobotomies. Can that really be said it's been perfected, or, you know, is it just a crapshoot as far as, you know, what they're doing today? Today,
yeah. Yes, actually, it's very sad that in extreme cases, it's still done on occasion, but electroshock therapy, despite the American Medical Journal having put out papers and everything saying how it erases memories and it causes all sorts of medical and health problems, it's still being done today, especially to the elderly and handicapped and already infirmed patients in mental institutions to even right now.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I had no idea. There was so much I learned about history and medicine and, just the appalling condition of, so-called incurable people or, individuals that were lost, forgotten, homeless, Civil War veterans, World War II veterans, things like that, heroes, they would be put in places like this or, tuberculosis patients, Waverly is one of the most infamous places that's reputed to be haunted simply because of so many deaths and horrifying treatments of the patients.
Almost like medieval times with the treatment, I guess you could say, of these patients.
I mean, we all like to talk about how horrific Joseph Mengele was to people in the Nazi concentration camps, the infamous Dr. Death. But,
mm-hmm.
there were people in America around the same time or sooner where in the, I believe it was 1920s, the Board of Eugenics for sterilizing the feeble-minded and insane epileptics and people like that. On that board, out of the 60,000 people that were sterilized without their consent, was philanthropists like Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Things that you never knew about these wealthy philanthropists that were so humanitarian.
Yeah
it's I guess it's okay if it's done here, but if it's done in a different country, then it's,
Yeah, if you kill someone who's not mentally ill, then that's bad. Yeah.
What? And you're saying some of this still goes on today?
I wouldn't say it's. It's not to the same severity. I mean, straitjackets have pretty much been replaced by chemical straitjackets. The psychoanalytic drugs and therapies. That's a lot more humane now. But one thing I mentioned in the afterword is as much as we would like to think of ourselves as a civilized nation and so kind and everything and trying to help and heal, even to this day, mental hospitals are nowhere near the institutions of peace and tranquility that we're unfortunately led to believe when we place a relative or friend into something like that. I mean, it's like how many old folks' homes do you hear about where someone's put in there and, they get beat on or sexually molested? I mean, these things happen and we don't like to think about it or let alone investigate it.
Yeah, it's very hard to find a senior's home or a nursing home, let's put it that way, that meets your standards. Because you do realize you got one person taking care of maybe eight people at a time. And seniors aren't the easiest ones to, especially that are ill and sick. They're not the easiest to, maybe it should be two or one on two instead of one on eight or nine. But you got costs, everything that has to be factored into.
I think that's been an ongoing thing ever since the beginning. I mean, some of these asylums were built in the 1600s, 1700s, and they originally were supposed to only house a few hundred, then it grew into the thousands, and they still only had the staff to handle the original workflow, and that's why people weren't even checked upon for hours, if not days. I mean, I believe it was in Waverly and a couple other places where patients were actually found beaten or frozen to death in remote parts of these just enormous buildings. You know, some of them were 4 or 5 stories tall. They would go for blocks in many different wings and directions, and so an orderly, you know, say, would happen across a body, and they would mm-hmm. have no idea, you know, how long they'd been there.
Wow. I know I sent you information about Mantino, and
right.
Yeah, and it was a letter from somebody that actually visited, or mother worked there. And it talked about what the person went through and stuff like that, or what they seen. And
right.
I believe it was the letter where the lady writing it said there was a girl there that, you know, played, you know, she wasn't what they thought she was, but she just, at the time, parents could put people away because, or kids away because the kid would speak up, wouldn't behave, blah, 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 there must be a problem. Etc.
Right.
Kennedy's, matter of fact, were a classic case of that, and it was one of the sisters, President Kennedy's sisters, they had a lobotomy in that because
right.
old man Kennedy didn't like the way that she talked back to him.
Right.
And
I mean, this is in our lifetime.
Yeah, and the story goes when the mother left to go to Europe, I believe it was. Old man Kennedy put the daughter in there. He had the lobotomy. I guess he had Mrs. Kennedy gone for like 6 months. So he had a lobotomy and everything done on the daughter. She became, or she was taken in by nuns, I believe, afterwards. And you know what? The rest of them. Well, they say the wrath of a woman, but I guess the wrath of a mother slash wife. You know the story about old man Kennedy, right? How that went down.
Yes.
When he got ill.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Annette, did you ever hear the story?
No, I guess I don't know. Tell for, yeah, for me and the
yeah.
other listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. She never forgave him for this, or what they did to the daughter. So, by what I've read and heard, is he had a stroke, okay? And Corvus, I tell me if I'm wrong or right, and if you know. And she didn't jump on to get him assistance right away. And I guess he more or less became a vegetable.
Yeah,
himself.
She was his turn, right?
It's
yeah,
rather
yeah.
poetic justice.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there's people that had all the money in the world and all that, and yet, you know, just because the kid didn't live up to the expectations of dad, you know, we're going to punish her. And kind of sad.
Which just goes to show you that he obviously started out nuts to begin with to do that to his own daughter, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Look at the history. So that speaks for itself, I guess. But what do you think now, Corvus, where they're, like in Illinois, they're thinking of, if they haven't already, shut down a lot of these type of hospitals?
Well, I do believe that it began during World War II to a limited extent, that journalists broke into some of these places disguised as patients or orderlies or something like that with some vintage old cameras by our standards, and for their time period, it was James Bond-type stuff, as small and elaborate as it was. And some of these pictures were actually leaked to a major magazine during its time, to where it got to the point where I believe it was Roosevelt or Eisenhower's wife became heavily active in getting these places investigated and little by little shut down. Mostly, and sadly, I would say that the majority of the reason why most of these places do not exist anymore is because science evolved and it became less profitable to house these patients because chemically altering them or finding other less costly ways of housing them or treating them became more prevalent. And so funding caused a lot of these places to just be vacated or people transferred, or they just let the patients go and they became the homeless crazy people that we all see.
That was under Reagan, wasn't it, that he pulled out?
So, you know, some of this has been going on, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and, you know, in that era more, where government officials just said, okay, we're closing you down, or we're not providing funding anymore. So, you know, they swept them under the rug, and they became part of the millions of homeless. And we wonder why half the homeless people are women with small children who just, you know, can't afford anything because they're single mothers and lost everything, or they're older crazy people. Well, that's part of the reason why, is because they're old inmates who no longer are being taken care of by anyone. And not that being taken care of was, I use that term very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
They weren't being watched, they're not being watched over, basically, today.
Right. I mean, you know, it's really sad. When you think of all the horror movies that exist out there, it's more horrifying to me researching and learning the truth than the ghost stories that I threw into the book, simply because they were tales told by urban explorers or people that lived in the cities where these humongous Gothic cathedral-looking monoliths still stand. And, you know, of course
mm-hmm.
they give you the chills when you're there. I don't know if they're truly haunted, but if there is such a thing, it would definitely be in places like this. I mean,
because
you think
of the,
thousands.
Because of the emotions left there. And
right.
Emotions,
I mean, how many of these people lived there their entire lives and died in misery and were buried into the back unmarked graves? And that's why a lot of these places can't be torn down, because there's cemeteries on them, and there's a federal law saying you cannot demolish property with cemeteries.
Now, there's Manteno, they converted a good portion of those buildings into veterans' homes, I believe. And,
right. There are many of them that have been, you know, torn down, changed into shopping malls, parking garages, or, you know, been revamped. I mean, Danvers is now mostly apartment buildings, but they kept the exterior front.
When they do those renovations or build a parking lot, are they still having sightings or experiences with spirits in those places?
I do know that the people that live in the Danvers apartments say that they hear noises and odd lights, and a good share of the people eventually move out. But Salem itself is notorious for all kinds of witchy, haunting, you know, all kinds of things, just given the reputation. It is, of course, the witch capital of the world. So.
Yes.
Have you ever been there or not?
I have not. That's on my bucket list.
It's definitely on mine, and it's not a bucket list. It's a future TV show I want to do.
Terrific.
What other books do you have? Well, first of all, Corvus, let's give the people where the website is. You got one or two specials going if they do the book now or if they order now,
right.
Pre-order.
If people go to CorvusNocturnum.com, you can actually pre-purchase the book that I put out. I'll be getting copies from Schiffer, and I'll be autographing them, and anybody who wants to prepay for that can either get a signed copy through me, or if you'd like, you can also get a half-price copy of Most Haunted, Scariest Places on Earth that I came out with earlier this year. So it's kind of a treat to give people, you know, a discount to get both of them. And, of course, you can get all my... You can get the majority of my other works on there, how to contact me for, you know, book signings and appearances at colleges and, you know, things like that.
What state are you out of, may I ask?
I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and
okay.
my address and everything for the P.O. Box is on CorvusNocturnum.com. But if fans want to contact me a little bit faster, they can always go to my Facebook page.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, in case somebody wants to have you in as a speaker, you just gave them somewhat of an idea of
right.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say urine and stuff like that.
I try to be approachable and easy to get a hold of, although next month is pretty well booked with working a new job full-time, and I also have Scarefest in Kentucky to go to that takes up most of last week.
Yeah, totally understand. Totally understand. Like I said, you got 10 books that people can order right from your website, and you've been a good guest in the past. You've been a great guest now. This is an interesting book. It's not just for the history, reasons, and what people went through. I know it angered me when I did research on Mantino, what they actually did people, did to people,
right.
Tortured them, stuff like that. And it really angered me that this went on in our country. So I like the clock says it's jumping between 3 minutes and 1 minute. So I'm just going to go with the 1 minute because I don't want to cut you off short. So I'd like to thank you for being on tonight. And
well,
your
you.
Facebook page, they can find you under what? On your
it's facebook.com/CorvusNocturnum. They can go to CorvusNocturnum.com, DarkMoonPress.com, and, of course, any of the books that I put out through Dark Moon or put out on myself or through Schiffer can be found on Amazon.com. And I'm very proud to say that now it's not only on America, but British, Italy, the United Kingdom, and all the other Amazon.coms that you can find in different nations have it too.
Congratulations. And
thank you.
Yeah. And I am interested in that mansion that was on your Facebook page. So if you do get an itch about that, we can talk about it in the future. Okay? All right. So,
definitely.
Thank you thank you very much for being on, Corvus. Thank you.
Thanks, Corvus.
Thank
have
you,
a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was pretty good. That was very interesting. The history part of it, and that seems like it overwhelms the actual paranormal stuff, too.
Even when you're an urban, discoverer, as he said, there's almost have to know about the history. So you're looking in the right places,
the history about what they did to the people in the past and everything like that. I said, when I was doing the stuff about Mantino, the webpage, it did anger me. I couldn't believe it. And then you tap into and find out some, historical stuff about, people who, have names, like I said, about the Kennedys and that. And it's like, wow. Okay. And so it makes for an interesting journey looking at this stuff. And thank God we became more civilized. If you want to call popping pills in the people and hoping for the best is civilized, but at least it isn't torture,
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah.
Let me spell Corvus Nocturnum for the people real quick. It's CorvusNocturnum.
Okay. I got Corvis. Corvus.
Is that what I said?
You said you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I got my nose in a Latin book, I guess.
Yeah.
N-O-C-T-U-R-N-U-S.
Yeah. And like I said, credit to him for putting out 10 books, too. I mean, I guess you don't have word block, as you call it.
No writer's block for Corvus. That's right.
Yeah, no writer's block, listeners, I'd like to say, too, for those that are interested, a couple dates coming up, October 6th and 7th, on the southwest suburbs of Palos Park, which is right in the area of the most haunted areas, southwest side. Bachelor's Grove, Willow Springs, the Humphrey House, et cetera, et cetera, Orland, Tinley Park. There's going to be a paranormal conference going on those 2 days, the 6th and 7th of October, which is Saturday and Sunday. And the cool thing about this is it's not just going to be paranormal. You're going to have hypnotists there. You're going to have sessions on past life regressions. You're going to have mediums. You're going to have readers, also paranormal people. I'll be doing readings. That night, then, there's going to be a dinner. And after the dinner, people have a choice of either going on, even though he's passed recently, his sister's taking it over, the Richard Crowe bus tour, haunted bus tour, or I will be assisting at Senator John Humphrey's house for a free paranormal tour in there through the house of Senator John Humphrey, which is a haunted location. And a simple donation there of a dollar or two would be great, but it is technically free. Then October 20th, which is going to be the Valentine's Boys and Girls Club Paranormal Night Fundraiser, 44,000 square foot location. And people involved, the spirit feelers, investigation teams, et cetera, et cetera. That is full already. So I just wanted to basically say it's full. it feels good to say that. And for those that are interested, come December, even November, if there's any interest, there's Annette and I have done them in the past, and we'll do them again if the requests are there. Holiday, a lot of holiday parties going on, corporate parties, et cetera. And we'd be willing to, we've done it before. It's a lot of fun to have us out there as readers. I think the one we did in that, what did we go through, about 40 people each?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Yeah. So it's something we're accustomed to doing. It's enjoyable. It's a feel-good type of thing. And that does a tarot. I do what I do, Pam, and some one-on-one psychometry. And it's fun. It's, you know, I did have a couple sit down and everything for the reading. Or if you're even having a private Christmas party or some type of holiday party, Annette does them, I do them. So let's go to EdwardShanahan.com and send me an email from there, and we'll do it. I'll send you information, or if you want Annette, I forward an email to Annette. Or you can write Annette directly at, what's your email address, Annette?
FairyMama, FairyMama, @hughes.net, HUGHES.net.
Okay. And I'm getting involved with a couple people for other paranormal nights. The one Chicago Paranormal Nights, October 20th will be the last one I personally run. I don't think I'll schedule any private paranormal nights after that neither, because I'm pretty well booked into November already. But there's going to be one or two that I'll be working with others, basically November 3rd. A opera house in central Illinois, which should be pretty cool. Never been. I walked into the first floor, but I never been to the whole building. So me and another medium will be doing that together, and it should definitely be interesting. We were in Danville. It's our RIP Phantom Fest, and we met each other, and we kind of clicked as far as what we do in that realm. And one interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen, that are in the Chicagoland area, even in Indiana, like Annette, there's something coming up October 27th. I went to it just a week ago. They had a overnight flea market with celebrities there, live bands. I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. I got there, it starts at 4, I got there at 7. And I left at 11, and there was still people in line to get in. And on October 27th, it's going to actually be a Halloween type of flea market with celebrities and screen queens and little, actors
pro
and stuff.
Pro wrestlers.
And
stars. Yeah.
Yeah, the last one had Eddie Munster there, which was kind of
neat
to see.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he aged pretty good. I got to say he's older than me, I would think. I hope.
Oh, of course.
I just realized he was a kid when he did that.
Yeah, but you were a kid when he was making it, too, so you're probably on the
list. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, so very down-to-earth individual, which was nice to see. But, yeah, like I said, just go look in overnight flea market or late-night flea market, Illinois, and it will come up, or Halloween flea market on Google, a free plug for them. But, like I said, I'm willing to share things that I think are really cool. And that the people would enjoy.
Great. I just was peeking at the website the other day, and it's awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I told you to look at the last year or the year before show and all the stuff that was there. And it was enjoyable. I was totally, totally amazed at the hundreds of people that showed up there. And we're not talking junk flea market. We're talking good stuff. So, collector's items, movie stuff, sports stuff, those metal signs, every type that you could think of. Really cool stuff there. Retro furniture, everything. So it was pretty neat to see. It really was. Annette, I would like to say thank you for being
here. Oh, sure. Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for listening in. Those who listen to iTunes, we'll get to hear this last portion. Or that listens to the rebroadcast of Blog Talk Radio. I'd love to thank all of you for making it popular. The numbers are really nice to see up there. And remember the free apps at edwardshanahan.com. They're free to download. It has to do with the paranormal and everything. So you also can find my two books there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Next time we'll be on. Follow Facebook. Sign up for Blog Talk Radio. Come in front there, too, and you'll be informed when we'll be on again. It'll be soon, but we do this when it's important. We don't do this to hear ourselves. Definitely not that. Not after 6 years, no.
I've never listened to all those shows. Just talk to them.
Annette, thank you very much. Listeners, thank you. Until next time, good night.
Blessed be.